I want to share a little story that I read this week that I thought was really good for this message. And so this was written by a gentleman by the name of Barry Davis. It says, a Texas dad, who did not want to offer his name, had some unexpected excitement for his family vacation, or on his family vacation. After the man and his family spent the night at a hotel in Memphis, Tennessee, they stopped to eat and fill up their gas tank. That's when the trip got really interesting. When the family hit the road, they left Dad behind at the gas station. Anybody ever have that happen to him? That's a good question. We're about to explain it. The father explained what happened. He said, somebody had been sleeping all night in the back, and they were going to drive, and I was going to get in the back and sleep. I went inside to get my change for the gas, and they thought I was already loaded up and closed all the doors and took off. The dad tried to call his own cell phone, which was still in the van, but no one answered it, he said. That sound familiar? 6 different cell phones and nobody answered. And my phone is there because it's on the charger and nobody answers it. And then it starts going straight to voicemail. I mean, that's odd. The father called the police, but it was social media that saved the day. This is a good lesson. If somebody's not answering their phone and you're having a problem. The frantic dad borrowed a computer from a local motel and got in touch with his family through Facebook. The van was about 100 miles away by the time he finally reached the family. Isn't that crazy? Well, the story actually had a happy ending. The family turned around, they picked up Dad, and they continued their vacation. The dad indicated to reporters that he's confident the entire incident was just a huge mistake. Was it? Fathers, can you relate to this man? Sometimes they don't even know you're in the house. I've been locked out in the backyard a few times. I know we don't like to say much about it, but the truth is many of us sometimes feel like we've been forgotten. Like Dad's just there. They don't even know what room he's in half the time. And then we know that if Mom is gone for more than a few hours, the whole house falls apart, right? But some of us get the feeling that we dads could go for a week or more and nobody would even notice unless there's something that needs to be fixed. Well, today I want to look at how we as fathers can be remembered for more than just things that we fix in the house. We're going to look at Philippians 2 today. And if you have a YouVersion, I've got an event out there that you will find under the Well Church. And our whole focus today is going to be on Philippians 2, beginning with verse 20. And this is an epistle, a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. And he shows us about two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus. And these are two examples of men that followed God's instruction. And it shows true character of the men that God calls us to be. What was the number again? It was Philippians 2. We're going to begin in verse 20. And we're going to be in 20 through 30 today. And my message today is called 5 C's of Becoming a Godly Father. 5 C's. So let's take a look at what Paul wants to show us in Philippians 2, beginning with verse 20. Do I have anybody that would read verses 20 and 21?
Yeah.
Okay.
For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare, for they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus.
Very good. Thank you. So the first thing to note is the person Paul is referencing here we can actually learn about in verse 19 is Timothy. Most of you have probably heard about Paul and Timothy's relationship. It's almost like a father and son. Timothy is a protege of Paul. Timothy was a pastor, and Paul really put a lot of confidence in Timothy for his abilities and how he just had a heart for God. What he's telling us here is that there's this word here that he has genuine concern for your welfare. The actual Greek used for that word genuine is rendered naturally. The NIV here translated to genuine, but it means it sincerely. It's sincere. His concern of the welfare of others is sincere. He has a compassion for other people. And the idea here is that he would regard their interest with a sincere tenderness and concern. Timothy had compassion is what he's trying to tell us here. So the first C I want to talk about today of a man with godly character is compassion. We need to learn compassion for others, to put others above ourselves. It's a trait that we should pursue. It's one that Christ showed us and demonstrated as well. And you see, the men that are remembered in the Bible for their character, every one of them you'll see a heart of compassion. Paul points out here also that there are many who are self-seeking, concerned about their own interests, that their interests come first, even above the interests of Jesus Christ himself. And so he's doing a compare and contrast of Timothy to those that have a self-seeking interest. And like Timothy, men of God put others before themselves. They have compassion for those around. They put relationship before results. That's often a hard thing for us guys to do, right? We're results-oriented. It's kind of how we're wired. It's actually not how we're wired. It's what the world has taught us. What God has taught us is that relationship trumps everything. And the beginning of a relationship is having compassion. So compassion is our first C. Now let's take a look at Philippians 2:22. Do you have somebody that might read that? Any takers?
I'll read it.
Okay.
But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel.
Thank you so much. So the other thing that we learn about Timothy here, and if you study about Timothy through Paul, you learn that Timothy was a reliable guy. He was consistent with the things he did. His actions have demonstrated his devotion to do God's work and God's cause. He's consistent here. When he says, I'll do it, he does it. When God calls him, we can consistently know that Paul sends Timothy, Timothy goes. This is a very important trait of a godly man, by the way, to be consistent, to be relied upon. The question I always like to ask is, will your actions reflect your Christian worldview? Because the Christian worldview dictates to us that we are to be consistent people, we are to be committed when we do things. Unfortunately, a lot of times we buckle under the pressure of the world instead of what we know Christ has called us to do. And so other things trump our work for the kingdom. In Proverbs 10:9, it says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. You see, people do not forget a person with integrity. That is one of the virtues that's so near and dear to me. It's so important. If I don't have integrity, nobody's going to listen to a thing I say. They're not going to believe me. They're not going to trust me. But if my actions reflect, if my yes is yes and my no is no, people are going to know that I'm consistent. They can trust me in those areas. So this is our second C. It's called consistent. The first is compassion. The second is consistent. Now let's take a look at verse 25. Do I have somebody that might read that? Okay.
25, you said?
Yeah.
I have thought it necessary to send you to
Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus.
My brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need.
Thank you. Can you imagine a kid in school with that name? Epaphroditus? You know how many teachers would say,
something like antibiotics.
Right. Epaphroditus. You know, you read this. He sends Epaphroditus back, Paul's co-worker and fellow soldier. He was sent to take care of Paul's needs. You know, one of the things about guys is we're often competitive in nature, right? We want to be the top dog. We want to be the alpha dog. We want to win. As Ash and I are competing in words with friends, and he's blowing me away with these big words that he's using. We're very competitive. Men are in general, right? Well, godly men learn that at times cooperation trumps competition. That's a hard thing for guys. Ask a guy to pull over and get directions one time. See if I'm lying about this, right? I am the last guy that will pull over. I'll get my GPS out. If it's not working, I know where I am. And an hour later in some other country, I realized how stupid I was and I should have pulled over and asked for directions. Cooperation. Epaphroditus went where he was most needed. You see, the church in Philippi sent him to Paul. He sent him to Rome where there was all kinds of persecution going on, where there was danger. And he said, send me wherever I can be used. He cooperated. He didn't have to be competitive here. He didn't have to take a higher role in the church of Philippi. Many people believe he was probably a deacon in this church in Philippi. Instead of building on that role as a servant, he went where he was needed. There was cooperation here. The kingdom of God was never meant to be competitive, and yet we see it all the time. In the kingdom of God, there's competition. We have churches that war with each other over filling seats. We have churches that won't join in with others because of a threat of others moving over to that church. Those are the kind of things that we see, and that is not a godly trait. We need to learn to be cooperative in the kingdom of God. This is our third C, it's cooperative. You know, as I continue to reach out and work with people in our community, other faith-based leaders, and as I'm networking, it's very clear that there are times where some of those leaders don't want to be part of a bigger thing going on because it threatens them. And it shouldn't be the way. That should not be the case. If God has called you into something, why are you threatened? So if you want to be a man that's remembered for more than just fixing stuff, the characteristic is cooperation. Whether that be with your children, with your spouse, with others. There's a time to be competitive for fun, but there's a time to be cooperative, to be a servant, to be willing to go where you're called and work for the overall goal of the kingdom of God.
That's a big thing amongst women, too.
Yes, it is. Women can be very competitive as well. All right, let's take a look now at verses 25 and 27. Have somebody that might read those? Yes, ma'am.
26. For he longs for all of you too, and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me the sorrow upon sorrow.
Thank you, Kim. So Epaphroditus goes to help Paul, and he becomes extremely ill, almost to the point of dying. And the church in Philippi gets word of this, and they're obviously very concerned, because we believe that Epaphroditus was a high up person in this church in Philippi, that he was dependent upon. He was a leader there. People depended upon him. Now there's nowhere else in Scripture that we learn about this man. But there are hints in this epistle that give us some insight into who he was. So he's sent to Rome, extremely ill, in a country that is persecuting Christians, an empire, if you will, not necessarily a country. And after he recovers, Paul thought it was best to send him back immediately to go back and assume his role. Now, what we learn about Epaphroditus, he was committed to Christ. He was committed to the call. He was committed to seeing the Christian faith grow. He wanted to go back to Philippi to ease the concerns of his people back there and to continue his work. Now, one thing I can say about this man is he was committed. He didn't let fear of the Roman government or anything else, fear of what was going on in Philippi, stop him from going to assist Paul. And he goes there and he gets ill. And this is a good secondary lesson at some point. A lot of people think that everywhere Paul went, he was just healing people. And what we actually learn about Paul is sometimes God used him to heal and sometimes he didn't. And so when somebody prays to heal somebody, sometimes God will move, sometimes he won't. And that's a hard thing for us to grasp. I've seen people get healed from prayer and I've seen people that haven't. Paul was a healer, but there are times where he couldn't even heal his coworkers or himself. Epaphroditus must have been pretty sick, and I doubt there was a lot of medical care available to him because of where he was. And a lot of times these guys were in hiding to escape the persecution. But one of the things I've learned is that godly men put Christ before comfort. Christ before comfort. Sometimes we're called to go into situations that are not comfortable. We don't want to go because we don't feel that we have the gifts or the talents, or we're afraid of the opposition, or whatever the outcome might be. When God calls us, we need to trust Him. And I believe that's exactly what happened here. This man was committed to the cause. He was committed to what he believed in. You know, we have people that say, yeah, I'm a Christian, which is great, but how committed are you to that cause? Because you can't read this Bible and feel like just being saved by the cross is enough. Christ calls us into a deeper, meaningful life to live for Him, to serve with Him. He says, I've done this so that you can partner with me, so that your righteousness can be seen through what I've done for you, so you can be in a relationship with me and follow me where I go. And it's often not a life of comfort. The Bible said that Jesus had nowhere to lay his head, and yet he was constantly a man of service. And so the fourth C is commitment. We have compassion, consistent, cooperative, and commitment. Four C's of a godly man. Now let's take a look at verses 29 and 30. Have anybody that would like to read those?
Yeah. Therefore, welcome him in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in honor, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up what was lacking in your ministry to me.
That's courage, right? He went into a hostile environment to take care of Paul and to do the work of God. And Paul says that men like this are to be honored. They're to be honored for their courage. You see, he put service before security. This man was a man who was courageous to do the work of God. And he went in a place where he almost died to do so. Then after he got well, he continued to go where God was leading him. See, godly men are remembered for their courage. Some of the men that I remember the most about their faith is their willingness to risk it all for the kingdom of God. There are men that I aspire to be like when I see that. They show this incredible courage. When they hear God speak, they're willing to do whatever he's asked them to do. They go into areas that most people would be afraid to go into. Or they take on responsibilities that most of us would probably be afraid to take on. And they're commended for that. I look up to people like that, that have that kind of courage. They take risks for the king. You know, we live in a place where we at least have humanitarian rights, where we have the ability to call 911, where we have people that are being videotaped, and, you know, it's hard to get away with stuff. And when we're called into areas that really aren't dangerous compared to a lot of other places, we hesitate. If God has called you, he's going to go with you. If he's called you, he's going to take every step you take into that environment. He says, do not fear, all throughout the Bible. Now, I'll tell you what, it's okay for guys to have a healthy fear. I mean, there are fears I've had before where I've been asked to go into an environment that was risky, that I could lose my life. And my biggest fear is my family, what's going to happen to them. And then I begin to realize that God's got this. He's in control, I'm not. And so when things need to be fixed, I think I might be forgotten at that point in time, but I might be missed. And I'm just kidding. My family knows when I'm gone. Wi-Fi's down, yep. Dad, where are you? But men with courage for the kingdom, it's hard to forget a guy that's willing to do that. Now, Mark 8:35, Jesus says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. He's saying, I'm worth that. I'm worth that. I've got your days numbered anyway. I'll decide when it's time for you to go and when it's time for you to stay. And so when we really trust the Savior and our actions reflect our Christian worldview, we become courageous for the gospel. We're willing to share our faith. We're willing to step into a situation that might bring some opposition to us. You guys know that pretty well, going to New Orleans and other places. There's always going to be opposition where Christ is at work, but he already has the victory. So this is the fifth C. Fifth C is courage. And so if we look at the life of Timothy and we see these godly traits in these men. They're written about in the Bible. Paul looks up to them. Paul respects them. Paul honors them. And if you know the life of Paul, it wasn't an easy life. Paul is a man I often look up to. Once he came to know the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he was on fire. From that point forward, he committed his life to serving the King. And you see these traits in him. You see them in these two men. You see them in the apostles, these five traits. And so it should tell us that if we want to be godly men, godly fathers, to show our kids what a godly father is like, we should remember these five C's. Maybe write them down. Maybe ask yourself, what area in these five characteristics do I need to work on in my life? Again, the first is compassion. The second is consistency. Compassion is, I have a heart for others. I'm going to put others before myself. God will take care of my needs so I can take care of the needs of others. I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to be dependable. When people call me to do something, I say I will do it, I'll do it. I'm going to be cooperative instead of competitive. I'm not at a competition when it comes to the kingdom of God. We're to work together. We're brought into community for a reason. We need to help each other out. Being committed to the cause. How committed are you to living your life for God? Sometimes it means we have to say no to the world. Sometimes it means we have to put things that we want aside to do something that God's called us to do. And the last one is courage. God has called us to be courageous Christians. I know that I've been called out of my comfort zone more times than I can count. And every time I've listened to his voice and knew I was supposed to do something, and fear started to creep in, I reminded myself of who God was, that his mighty hand will go with me. And every time I've done that, I've seen a result that I wasn't expecting. I've seen something so great come out of that. And the fear lifted every single time. So those are the five C's that I think we should inspire to be as men. Do I have all these nailed? Absolutely not. As a pastor, this is my goal, to grow in all of these areas. There are times where I could be more compassionate, no doubt. There's times where I could be more consistent. There are times where I could cooperate more with other pastors and leaders in our community. There are times where I could be more committed, for sure. And there are times where I could be more courageous. And so as I stand up here and share this message with you, you guys, this is a lifelong process, but it's one that we should aspire to. You aspire to these things, you're going to be remembered. People are going to respect you. People are going to look up to you. People are going to honor you. People are going to want to be like you. You see these guys that have this stuff down pretty well, and you hear guys say, man, I wish I could be like that. I always fall down in this area, and this guy seems to just soar right through. This is my aspiration, to grow my life to be a guy like that, to be a guy of integrity, a guy committed to what God has called me to do. And so I hope, guys, that you will aspire to that as well. That this might be a reminder to us each that God has called us to something greater than what this world will ever offer you. I'm not going to be remembered for my job. I'm not going to be remembered for how many things I fixed. I'm going to be remembered for how many things I didn't fix, probably. I'm not going to be remembered for anything I did on earth, but by the way I live my life. Question is, what do you want on your tombstone? How do you want to be remembered? Let me go ahead and close this in prayer.